Hello, and welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We are in year 12, actually almost year 13 now. We started our life in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench. And now we find ourselves in Nanoose Bay, still talking to the friends that we met along the way. Besides our segment sponsors in this show, the title sponsorship for this show and next week's show about the Garage East is from our friends at the Wines of BC. Simple as that. Couldn't have done it without them. This show is the fifth annual BC Pinot Noir celebration. I think it's Curtis Colt who talks about Pinot being the one varietal, one grape that can be grown in Canada from coast to coast, and it draws us together. It's a tough little grape. It's called the heartbreak grape because it can go sideways and bad very quickly. You have to be on top of your game to have Pinot in the bottle. We're going to start by talking to the organizers, Jack Meyer from Meyer Family Vineyards, Grant Biggs, the winemaker from Kitsch, and David Patterson from Tantalus. And added to that first segment is Jason Parks, my contact and the man behind the Hatch Wines in Summerland. We'll hear from Grant Stanley, one of the outstanding Pinot makers in all of Canada from Spearhead, Ben Bryant from Winery of the Year, Mission Hill, Jen and Kent Molgat, first-time pourers at the Pinot Celebration from The View Winery. Chris Carson has an interesting role. He is the winemaker at Meyer Family Vineyards, but Jack Meyer is pouring Meyer because Chris Carson, his own personal wines, Carson wines, are being poured by the man himself. Dan Wright, the winemaker from Unsworth, Pinot Country in the Cowichan Valley, and Paul Pender from Taws and Hidden Bench in Niagara. And we finish off with Paul M. Bruner from Blue Grouse, Andy Johnson from Avril Creek, and Tyler Knight from Lightning Rock. Please enjoy the fifth annual Pinot Celebration in Kelowna. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. It's going to be an amazing 2020 at The Hatch. A new location for Crown and Thieves will open in the summer, The Hatching Post Microbrewery, and Black Swift Vineyards in the spring. So what is Black Swift Vineyards? Single vineyards, small lots of Riesling, Chardonnay, Pinot, and Syrah. It's like The Hatch wearing a tuxedo. There'll be a tasting room and a patio, and it'll be the home of both Black Swift and Screaming Frenzy. All the details might be found at thehatchwines.com. Organizers of this fifth annual BC Pinot Noir celebration, Jack Meyer from Meyer Family Vineyards in Okanagan Falls, David Patterson, the general manager and winemaker from Tantalus, and Grant Biggs, the winemaker at Kitsch Wines. Okay, this is the fifth year. Who remembers best the first year? What was the highlight of the first year?
Us. Yeah. David and I are the co-founders, co-presidents, just because nobody else steps up. First year, we held it at Meyer Family Vineyard, so I guess that would be me. We started small.
How many Pinots?
There were 16 wineries and about 150 people.
Did they buy into it? Did they like the idea?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we've now grown the event to 300 people and 35 wineries, so obviously it's, some people have enjoyed it and are returning every year, which is great.
Is one of the byproducts, do you think, that it's influencing now new wineries, new winemakers, getting them to think about planting Pinot and watching over that?
Yeah, I think Pinot's a natural grape to grow kind of from that central Okanagan all the way up north and does really well in BC's climate throughout the Okanagan Valley. And for myself, it just seemed like something that I wanted to be a part of. When you see the quality of producers being at previous Pinot Noir celebrations, definitely want to jump on board and be guilty by association there.
Grant Biggs, winemaker, Kitsch Wines, Kelowna. Jack Meyer, Meyer Family Vineyards, Okanagan Falls, sitting right next to David Patterson from Tantalus. What are you pouring?
Today we've got the 2017 five-barrel Pinot, the 2017 Pinot, and then 100% single block, single vineyard Pinot Noir Rosé from 2018.
What are you pouring from Tantalus?
I'm going to pour 2010 just to show an older vintage to the public. Then we're pouring 2017, which is our current release, and 2016 Reserve, which is also a current release for us.
Jack, what are you pouring today?
We've got our 2017 McLean Creek Pinot, 2017 Old Block Pinot, and 2018 Okanagan Valley Pinot.
How many different Pinot Noirs go into your blend?
Pinot Noir clones. At the moment, I have 9 clones planted.
What's your oldest Pinot?
The wine?
Planting.
We've got some 1985 plantings of an old German Spätburgunder clone that I turn into Blanc de Noir bubbles.
What's your oldest, Jack?
1 acre, 1994 plantings, clone unknown. We don't want to spend the $1,000 US to find out.
Come on.
It just tastes good.
What's your oldest?
Our Old Vines Pinot dates back to 2014.
Okay. Does Pinot want to get older? Does it care in the bottle?
I think so. I mean, when you look at Burgundy, the birth place of Pinot, the home of Pinot, those vines average between 45 and 55 years old, and then they sort of rip an acre out and replant. But I think there's a real quality of texture that comes with Pinot that's at least 15 years older or older. And then you see a crop decline at some stage, and that's when you've got to make those financial decisions of, are we keeping these 50, 60-year-old vines, or are we starting to replant? But, you know, here in the Okanagan, we talk about 25 to 35-year-old vines at the moment. So I think we've got a few decades before producers need to start making those decisions.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We're on the UBC campus in Kelowna, out near the airport. It's the 5th annual BC Pinot Noir celebration. Some 35 Pinot Noir makers are here. There's classes, everybody geeking out and talking about Pinot. Grant Biggs, winemaker, Kitch Wines, Kelowna. Jack Meyer, Meyer Family Vineyards, Okanagan Falls, sitting right next to David Patterson from Tantalus. Comments on cellaring?
We make 5 different Pinots. 4 of those are Pinots that are meant for cellaring. They'll definitely improve with age. We kind of claim 7 to 10 years is the cellaring potential, that we know that they'll go longer than that. And they start to really hit their stride at about the 3 to 5 years and just get a little better and better. But there's a big difference in those first sort of 5 years.
This is open to all 3 of you, and I'll let you go. And that is, so 5 years of celebration over a black skin grape that's difficult, that could cause you a hissy fit, could literally have you ripping out your hair because it doesn't want to cooperate. It's got to be, all the elements have to be in place. What's been the effect of those 5 years in terms of sales province-wide in British Columbia, do you think?
Of total Pinot sold, you mean? We're all making more Pinot and we're all selling it, so it's definitely on the increase. I think, say, 5-6 years ago when people came into Tantalus, they were only there for the Riesling. And then, oh, you make Pinot as well, was always the comment. And now we're getting a lot of people come in for the Pinot and then trying the Riesling. So it's not that we're suddenly a Pinot house, but the last 5-6 years have really seen it'd be sort of three grapes in our portfolio that all have validity as opposed to just being a Riesling producer.
Are you a Pinot house?
We only make Pinot Noir in terms of red wine off our East Kelowna property, and just seeing the way that the industry has kind of embraced Pinot since I've started in it just over a decade ago in selling wines. The Pinots that are being made and crafted in BC in the vineyards and then in the wineries are world class, and to me it's a natural progression to be known as a serious Pinot producer globally.
Where are we going to have this next year? Is there going to be a next year or 2 years?
Every 2 years. I mean, we'll see how this venue goes. At the moment, we're pretty happy with the venue. It would be nice to bring it back down to Caledon where it was in that beautiful setting.
Yeah.
But the logistics of an event there is a lot harder than the logistics of an event here. So at the moment, you know, especially with things like the breakout sessions that we just did, it's really nice having classrooms and things to be able to do that in rather than having to bring all the infrastructure in.
Thank you, gents. Thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Congratulations. Organizers of this 5th annual BC Pinot Noir celebration, Jack Meyer from Meyer Family Vineyards in Okanagan Falls, David Patterson, the general manager and winemaker from Tantalus, and Grant Biggs, the winemaker at Kitch Wines.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a weekly celebration of food, wine, and life, with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Jason Parks, the Hatch. This is the fifth Pinot Noir celebration. How many have you done?
I went to another one, but I just drank too much at it. This is the first one I was at that I had to speak a bit at.
And how was the drinking?
It was awesome.
Were you astounded at how many different Pinot Noirs we make?
Yeah, and how many good ones are here. It's exciting watching the growth of Pinot. I think last year was my 17th crush, and just watching how much Pinot's been improving over the years is pretty exciting for the country, I think.
What about us, the wine fan, the wine drinker, the consumer? Are we following this? That was a geek out in there in both seminars. I kept thinking, are the wine buying public, are they buying the idea of Pinot Noir?
I think it's trending in, for sure. Yeah, I do. The people that like Pinot are feeling quite proud. The Canadian people that enjoy Pinot are feeling quite proud of our Pinots, I know that. Because we have stepped the game up quite a bit. We're comparing it to the French ones. They're not so much as a different style than Washington and Oregon. So I think we've got a good thing going.
It's one of the more expensive wines.
Yep. I'm not sure why. It's not the most expensive grape. But you make it quicker, right? Pinot Noir, you don't want to age it too long. You don't want it in the cellar too long. And that all is attached to how you can set pricing on a wine, right? Because the cost of making the wine. Pinot Noir, you know, you don't want it in the cellar too long. So, but yeah, we get it. We get a good price for them.
I hear the phrase all the time about if you're going to do Pinot, you have to do it right. Yeah. Define right.
Doing it wrong a whole bunch of times, I guess. We have done 14 Pinot Noir releases in the last 3 years. Lots of single lot batches. And when we figure out how to do it right, I'll let you know. We have our failures, we have our successes, but I think just doing a whole lot of it right now, and I won't get it in my lifetime. But
have you connected the dots between the rights?
Yeah, there's some steps that we know are the right steps to take. A lot of it is in the vineyard. I don't want to sound like, you know, the typical terroir guy, but, you know, the good quality fruit is the most important thing. It's not always about your crop load. Everyone says, 3 tons an acre. I've had 6 tons an acre Pinot. That's kicked the poop out of 2 ton an acre Pinot. It didn't work. It was just, it was too fat, too flabby.
The surprises then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jason Parks, the Hatch. Are you making Pinot for anybody else or just yourself?
The group, Indigenous World has a Pinot, but Brody Isaac is doing that Pinot, so he's got his own style as well. He's part of our group that we make wine together. Other than that, that's about it.
Tell me about Indigenous World.
Indigenous World's a great place. I worked with the Louis family, started working with them, I think, almost 6 years ago now. He tasted a wine that I did for a group called the Aces Wine Group. It was a poker-themed wine many years ago, and I was at a party, and we had a couple of whiskeys, and he looked me in the eye and said, can you make an award-winning wine? And I had some confidence on because of the amount of whiskeys. Told him I think I could, so we started making wine together, and that first wine was called Simu. That's the first wine that I did for Indigenous World. So I helped them design it, helped with the branding, the concept, got them up and running, and they're doing pretty good.
Are you any plans to make whiskey?
If I said I'm already making it, I'd probably get in trouble.
So maybe down the way.
yeah, on the way.
Jason Parks, the Hatch. All right, you just did a seminar with, it was called Coast to Coast. Yeah. And it was Joie Farm, Black Swift, Monte Creek from Kamloops Way, Hidden Bench Estate Winery from Beamsville, Ontario, Taws, which was quite a surprise, from Quarry Road in the Niagara Escarpment, and Lightfoot and Wolf, from Nova Scotia.
It was
surprises for you?
Yeah, it was intimidating as hell. They're all really good speakers, really good wines, lots of experience and education. So I was very proud to sit beside them and taste their wines, listen to them speak and learn. It was great.
Can't you hire someone to be your spokesperson?
I'm going to hire Terry Mulligan.
No, hire somebody with a beard and with a hat and they won't know.
You can grow a beard. I'll get you a hat.
Are you going to concentrate on Pinot, do you think? Because you make so many wines and you make a great big red blend. What do you think?
I'd like to say that we are just going to focus on that, but the Hatch right now alone is doing up to 70 SKUs, right? So I'd be fibbing. I have personal goals to focus on certain varietals in the future, but we got to get these new buildings up and get the SKUs placed into where they got to go. But we focus on everything we bring in there. But Pinot Noir has definitely got a soft spot in our heart. Like it's a winemaker's wine, right? It comes in, it gets looked at with different eyes.
Jason Parks, The Hatch.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. It's going to be an amazing 2020 at The Hatch. A new location for Crown and Thieves will open in the summer. The Hatching Post Microbrewery. And Black Swift Vineyards in the spring. So what is Black Swift Vineyards? single vineyards, small lots of Riesling, Chardonnay, Pinot, and Syrah. It's like the Hatch wearing a tuxedo. There'll be a tasting room and a patio. And it'll be the home of both Black Swift and Screaming Frenzy. All the details might be found at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Believe it or not, if you go to the Road 13 website, they already have listed their events for 2020. The dinners with Backyard Farm, the Bubbles and Crepes, Cheesy Weekend, Crab Boil, the Bubbles and Barbecue, the Harvest Barbecue, and the days that the Wienery truck shows up. It's all there. Make your plans at road13vineyards.com. This show is the fifth annual BC Pinot Noir celebration.
Under the S's, Savard, Scorched Earth, Stag's Hollow, Stone Bolt, I found one of the original Pinot makers and one of the best winemakers in all of Canada, Grant Stanley, Spearhead Winery. Is this your fifth year? Have you done all 5 years?
I have attended four of them.
Are you like a proud papa?
Well, it's just great. It's great to see Pinot being enthused about, and you know, certainly when I got here in 03, I was talking about Pinot Noir, and people were still a little bit reluctant to say that it was, you know, the key noble red wine varietal for our region, and I think, you know, it definitely has emerged as that now.
Where was the breakthrough, do you think?
You know, all it takes is a few cool years to remind everybody that we really only have about 100 to 120 days of good, solid ripening weather in this in our circumstance here, in this terroir. And Pinot Noir only takes 100 days, so it's not like a lot of the kind of Bordeaux varieties that just need more extended period of time with sunshine and long autumns. So Pinot here is a 10 out of 10 proposition. Every vintage is a potential to make good wine.
And there's value in the cool?
Yeah, there is, yeah. I mean, if you get too hot, then it doesn't work anymore. You get a bit baked, and the acidity goes away. So, no, our calling card is in our great acid and our great diurnal temperatures closer to harvest and all of those good things that make good Pinot Noir here.
I was just making some notes on the way up. Cherry, raspberry, mushroom, forest floor, vanilla, baking spice.
Rhubarb. Yeah, rhubarb, persimmon. There's all sorts of different expressions of Pinot Noir as a varietal, but certainly you hit the big ones, and they all come, you know, I think the essence of great Pinot Noir is that it can't be green, but it has to have a bit of herbality, a little bit of spice in there just to help it age along and not be too one-dimensional.
When you taste other Pinot Noirs from Burgundy or Oregon or California, or New Zealand, wherever they're from,
yeah.
And you taste the side by each. What do we say with our Pinot?
Well, we definitely stack up. I would say that we are in the cool climate spectrum. You know, I'm always surprised that really ripe vintages and ripe wines that come out of the Okanagan don't look that way when you put them amongst some hotter regions and some other regions. So I would say we fall more into the camp here of like New Zealand Pinot Noir, Chilean Pinot Noir, where there is that cool, real genuine cool climate element to it.
Talk to the first-time wine buyer, first-time stepping into the Pinot Noir ring. What do you look for, besides price, because it can be a very expensive grape, what do you look for? What kind of things?
Weight, texture, body. I mean, some light, very, very light Pinot Noirs, you know, express themselves with power in other ways. Meaning, you know, I've tasted some very hot, alcoholic, overly extracted Pinot Noirs in from all over. And I think the key to great Pinot Noir is gentle elegance extraction without tannins. You know, most people that are drawn to Pinot Noir are drawn to it because they like acidity, but they don't like astringency.
We're talking with Grant Stanley from Spearhead Winery. What are you pouring today?
I'm pouring my three single vineyard Pinot Noirs from 2017. So all made in the winery under the same direction, the same winemaking guidelines, the same sort of protocol, as it were, with wild ferments and long skin contact. But they're all completely different expressions of wine because they come from different vineyards in different places throughout the valley. So the one is Coyote Vineyard, which is my own personal home vineyard. And the other one is the Saddle Block Vineyard, which is the spearhead home block vineyard. And then we are working with a vineyard down in Summerland called the Golden Retreat Vineyard. And so that rounds out our third. And as I say, they're all completely different and unique wines and special in their own way.
Much like the person who made them.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks. Cheers.
One of the fathers of BC Pinot Noir, Grant Stanley, winemaker at Spearhead.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
It's the 5th annual BC Pinot Noir celebration at UBC campus. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. You can see the list of all the combatants that we'll be interviewing today on the website, mulliganstew.ca. Ben Bryant is one of them. Haven't seen him since Dean House in Calgary. And you had crutches.
I did.
You leaned them in the corner. I took a shot of your crutches in the corner. How are you feeling?
I'm good now. I'm mobile. So I'm happy, but I'm even more happy to be here at the Pinot Noir celebration.
First of all, congratulations on the win as Winery of the Year.
Yeah, it's a remarkable achievement, but it's also a credit to, you know, the vision that we have for the business in terms of our vineyards, our organic transition, and the teams that work in the winery tirelessly to blend and care and nurture some stunning wines.
People only see, you know, the final product. They only see the vineyards, they see the bell tower, the amazing building that was created. It's the vision behind it. When no one was around and when it was every decision was life or death, that's what we're seeing now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, without a very clear vision, none of this would have been possible. And it all comes down to Anthony Van Mondel. You know, his love for this region, passion for it, and fundamentally he's employed. You know, we're working with some amazing viticulturalists, winemakers, and we have beautiful vineyards and an amazing winery to bring to what's in the glass.
Have you done Pinot celebrations like this before in other parts of the world?
Yeah, look, in Australia, the Adelaide Hills, sure. We would always do one every year. They're amazingly insightful. You can see from the crowd here, I think we'll have a mixed crowd from all walks, industry, general consumers, lovers of Pinot, and the day's stunning. So what more can you want than a collection of BC's best Pinot Noir producers sharing their wines?
What did you bring to pour today?
We bought three wines. We've got our 2017 Reserve Pinot Noir, a blend from our northern vineyards. We have our Terroir Collection 2016 Pinot Noir, and we have Prospectus 2017 as well.
Does this feel like Pinot Country to you?
When I first got here, not necessarily, but now, you know, looking at our properties in the north, the northern, you know, East Kelowna, West Kelowna and Naramata, absolutely. Beautiful soils, great sites, cool. What more could you want for, you know, classic Pinot Noir?
It's your portfolio to grow and nurture. Do you have plans for future Pinot offering?
Absolutely. To give you an insight for 2018, which we've just blended, we'll have in the Terroir collection, we're introducing another Pinot Noir. So we'll have two single vineyard Pinot Noirs from the north. Prospectus is our flagship Pinot Noir.
Yep.
It will continue to get better and better as our vineyards get older. And Reserve is a go-to Pinot Noir for BC.
It's your first summer here?
Yep. No, this is my second summer.
Second summer here. Are you settling in?
Yeah, absolutely. And what's even better about this summer is it's not full of smoke.
And we're polite.
Too polite.
There was just the slightest hesitation. Congratulations, first of all, on the award and for being at the right place at the right time. It's a wonderful move. I hope your family's loving it.
Thank you so much. Yep, absolutely. How could we not?
Ben Bryant, Mission Hill. The number one winery in Canada, 2019.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
This is the 5th annual BC Pinot Noir celebration at the UBC campus, which is just outside the Kelowna Airport. It's fantastic. And set up today between O'Rourke's Peak Cellars and Tinhorn Creek Vineyards is the View Winery. Kent Mulgat, Jennifer Mulgat have joined me here in the studio, which is just three chairs underneath a tree. Have you done the Pinot Noir celebration before?
This is our first time. We're so excited. This is our first vintage of Pinot Noir, so we're so excited to be here. Exciting!
Tell us about you and Pinot.
Well, this is the most planted grape in British Columbia right now, and for good reason. Our neighbors, Spearhead, had amazing success with their Pinot Noir a few years ago, and so, I don't know, are we bandwagon jumpers, but it really is an excellent grape for this region.
You know, we only make wine out of what we grow, and we only grow what's appropriate for our terroir, and we are up in the hills, up in Kelowna's south slopes, and we're up a little bit higher than others, and so we have a pretty short growing season. So for us, we grow primarily whites, and for reds, Pinot Noir is really great because it is very early ripening.
It's also a close cousin of our old Pinotage, which was planted by Jennifer's father many years ago, and it's done really well.
Is it still there?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Still there. Yeah, it has a real following. And it makes an incredible rosé.
We're talking Pinot Noir at the 5th annual BC Pinot Noir celebration in Kelowna. This is Kent and Jennifer Molgat from The View Winery. I made some notes here. Pinot Noir black skin thrives under certain conditions, very difficult to grow, but when you get it right, it's fantastic. What is get it right?
Not overcropped. It can be tricky in the cellar because the beauty of Pinot Noir is its beautiful, delicate fruit notes, and you don't want to overpower it with too much oak. So you really have to be selective about the oak you use, whether it's old oak, new oak. We use French oak and a combination of old and new. But our style is very fruit-forward, fairly floral. We really let the fruit show through. We don't overpower it with oak.
We're talking Pinot Noir at the 5th annual BC Pinot Noir celebration in Kelowna. This is Kent and Jennifer Molgat from The View Winery. What are you going to pour today?
We are pouring our Pinot Noir 2017, our Pinot Noir Reserve 2017. So those are sort of barrel select, winemaker's barrels selected. And then we're also pouring some bubbles. We have two bubbles. Our Distraction Frizzante has Pinot Noir in it, as does our Pearls Traditional Brut.
Anything hiding under the table?
We actually do have an interesting, we have our Pearls Sparkling newest vintage, which has not been disgorged yet. So it's just fun for consumers to try it before any dosage
is
added.
It's so dry right
now. It's super dry. There's been no dosage added. But it is fun for consumers just to try that in process.
We're talking Pinot Noir at the 5th annual BC Pinot Noir celebration in Kelowna. This is Kent and Jennifer Molgat from The View Winery. Is the BC wine buying public, are they buying into Pinot the way you would like?
We have certainly seen that in our wine shop, and people are coming for it. People know that this is becoming a Pinot destination, so I think that's really exciting. And consumers are more sophisticated now. They want to taste what is grown in that area and what's appropriate for the terroir, and Pinot Noir is proving to be just that.
And you see the large corporate wineries are buying up properties, and they're investing in Pinot Noir. They've done the research. Obviously, the public must be on side. They have more research in their department than we do.
True. Our research is our, you know, consumer's reaction in the wine shop.
That's direct.
Exactly.
That's as close as you can get.
Yes.
The customer's always right.
Have yourself a great first pour.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Great to talk to you. Thanks.
We're talking with two first-time pourers at the 5th Annual BC Pinot Noir Celebration, Kent and Jennifer Molgat from The View Winery. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Believe it or not, if you go to the Road 13 website, they already have listed their events for 2020. The dinners with Backyard Farm, the bubbles and crepes, cheesy weekend, crab boil, the bubbles and barbecue, the harvest barbecue, and the days that the wienery truck shows up. It's all there. Make your plans at road13vineyards.com. And welcome back. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasty Room Radio. We're attending the 5th annual Pinot Noir celebration in Kelowna at the UBC campus just outside of the airport. Courtesy of the Wines of BC, they made it possible for us to be there, and we stayed the next day and covered the Garagiste North at Sperling Vineyards. It was great fun, and that will be the show next week. Coming up, Chris Carson, who's the winemaker at Meyer, but was pouring his own wine, his own Pinot, from Carson. Dan Wright from Unsworth. Paul Pender from Taws and Hidden Bench in Niagara. Paul M. Bruner from Blue Grouse. Andy Johnson from Avril Creek. And Tyler Knight from Lightning Rock are next. Thank you, Wines of BC. Here we go. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the award-winning Orofino Vineyards, producing the Similkameen Valley's finest single vineyard wines, offering luxurious vineyard accommodations, voted best in the Similkameen Valley, and a wine club that makes it easy to enjoy all the best of Orofino. And the Similkameen Valley's new Row 14 restaurant at Clippers, not just raising the bar in cost and cuisine, it's defining it. It's also the home of Untangled Cidery and Clippers Guest Suites. You can find them online at row14.ca and orofinovineyards.com.
We're at the fifth annual BC Pinot Noir Celebration. Tell our at-home audience who you are and why you're here.
My name is Chris Carson. I'm winemaker for Meyer Family Vineyards in Okanagan Falls.
I understand, but I also see a wine being poured today called Carson.
Yeah, I was just getting to that, Terry. Don't rush me. I'm also pouring my own label, Carson Pinot Noir, from Naramata Bench.
Was it that you were not busy enough?
Well, it's only 300 cases, so it doesn't put a lot of, take a lot of time.
But your name's on it.
Yes. But I couldn't pass up on pouring here. As you know, there is a sommelier group that decides, they go through, you enter your Pinot Noir, and then there's a group of sommeliers that taste from, I don't know, 50, 60 wineries, and then they have to decide on the final 30 or 25. They break it down. And I was lucky enough to be part of the admittance criteria, so I couldn't pass up on pouring.
Chris Carson from Carson Wines, pouring here today at the BC Pinot Noir Celebration. When you pour, as I did today at one of the panels, when you pour Meyer Family Vineyards Pinot next door to others, what is it that stands out for you about the Meyer?
Complexity. I think complexity and elegance. I think the best descriptor I've ever heard was from a Central Otago Pinot Noir Celebration. I think it was the first or second one. And there was a wine producer from Australia. He said, described it as sex on the forest floor. And that's always stuck with me. And it's just, that covers all the bases, you know. It's just, there's something about Pinot Noir that, the Meyer Pinot Noir, the site, it's a hot site, but it produces, it's sort of on the cusp between too hot and not cool enough, but it's just a great site for Pinot Noir. We got five different clones. So it, use good French oak.
Right.
I think Pinot Noir, you can't use anything but French oak, and it's just this brings out the complexity and the length and the elegance, and that getting that mid-palate weight on Pinot, I think that's key as well. So,
do you notice that Pinot has its own language when you're trying to describe Pinot?
Sometimes it can be tough, but to describe it, but it's because there's so many. I think it's because it doesn't have the tannins of some other varieties, like a Cab or a Merlot, that cover up some of those subtle nuances.
Yeah.
So Pinot Noir, you get those subtle differences, those nuances, those flavors come through because it's not such a tannic wine.
Yeah.
So it brings out more of that elegance and length.
How many Pinots now on the Meyer label?
Meyer was five.
Yeah.
Five, yeah, with different price points.
And all different tastes. And
yeah, there's the Cuvée, which is a barrel select.
Yeah.
That's the high-end one. There's the Old Block from McLean Creek, which is from a one-acre parcel on that site. And then the McLean Creek Pinot, which is makes up everything else on that site. And then there's an Okanagan Valley Pinot, which is just put into older barrels from different vineyards throughout the valley. And that's our lowest price point.
He is Chris Carson. He's the winemaker at Meyer Family Vineyards in Okanagan Falls now. But he's pouring today Carson. How did that come about? How many years in the making?
2011 was the first vintage. So that's, and I just about to bottle the 18, so that's seven vintages. Yeah.
Just Pinot?
Just Pinot. That's all I want to make. That's my passion. That's, I think down the road I might have two or three different Pinots, but right now it's just the one from Naramata.
Where did you source your fruit?
From Naramata. It's a high elevation site. I think it's probably the highest on the bench, so it's cooler. Typically it comes in last of the Pinot parcels, and it's a great site. It faces, like most sites on the Naramata bench, it faces that southwest sort of, but it's out of that heat pocket down below. So.
And Jack's going to pour Meyer.
Yeah, correct.
You have to outshine him, you know that.
Well, it's hard to say, but it's just different. That's the thing about Pinot. I mean, different sites has a big
impact. And how different is yours from his?
It's cooler. Yeah, it's much cooler. Like I say, elevation, aspect, soils are different. So that all goes into the final product.
And how different is it having your name on that label?
It makes me proud. Yeah, it's my baby. It feels good. Yeah, it feels really good.
So there's only 300 cases. Where do we find this wine?
Fine wine shops in Vancouver, such as Marquis, myself, just carsonpinot@gmail.com. good restaurants. I'm in a lot of good restaurants in Vancouver. So, yeah, if you like food and you're into the fine wines, you'd be able to find it.
Well, you found your audience. Chris Carson from Carson Wines, pouring here today at the BC Pinot Noir Celebration. Thank you. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Derek. Cheers.
Food, wine, and friends. It doesn't get any better. You're listening to Tasting Room Radio, a celebration of all three, with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Dan Wright is the winemaker at Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. All right, we're at the Pinot Celebration. What are you bringing to pour?
We have our 2016 and 2017 Pinot Noirs, Cowichan Valley made and grown, and also our 2018 Rosé of Pinot Noir.
Let's talk about the Cowichan Valley and specifically Unsworth as Pinot territory.
Yeah, I think the climate is great and getting better, interestingly enough. We have truly cool climates. We don't bake in the summer, and we have a nice long growing season. So I think we can make wines of elegance, finesse, tension, that style of lighter style Pinot Noir, similar perhaps in the style of Coteau Champenois.
I haven't been to a Pinot Noir celebration on the island where everybody was just pouring their Pinots. Have you tasted your neighbors side by side, and how different are they from each other?
I think you can see similarities in vintage. So, for example, the 2016 vintage was quite hot, and you find those wines heavier and bigger, you know, slightly. And the 17s was a little cooler, more of a return to normal, and you find them more lean and bracing and lighter in color as well.
Are you going to become a Pinot house primarily down the road?
That's a good question.
Just a guess.
Yeah. Yes, but I don't think we'll stop doing sparkling and rosé of Pinot Noir. I think that those will continue to be very important, and as well the red Pinot Noir will grow alongside of it.
It's also an investment in Pinot Noir for Unsworth, because if in fact it turns out to be great Pinot territory and starts to get that buzz about it, you're in the game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's more potential for great Pinot Noir vineyards to be planted. Right now, I think we're sourcing mainly our red Pinot Noir grapes from Saison Vineyard in the North Cowichan Valley, which is a fantastic vineyard grown by Frederick and Ingrid. They have the right site, the right soil there, and I think we need more and more plantings in similar conditions.
Have you planted out in and around the estate?
We pretty much are planted out.
Okay, so you've got to lose the buildings and the restaurant.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. We might have to buy a bit more land, yeah.
How many different clones go into your Pinot Noir?
Pinot Noir, we always use 828, 777, and 667. Almost equal proportions, maybe a little bit more 828 dominant. And sometimes we have some 115, but the 115 struggles a bit on the island to make it. I know it's a beautiful clone that everyone raves about.
Conditions have to be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So often it makes it goes into our rosé.
Remind me again what you're pouring today.
Our 2016 Pinot Noir, 2017 Pinot Noir, both of those come primarily from Saison Vineyards. And our 2018 Rosé of Pinot Noir. For dinner, we're going to do the 2015 Cuvée de Lille, which is our traditional method sparkling wine made from Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris, and Pinot Auxerrois. So stepping out of the bounds a little bit. And for the and alongside that, we'll have the 2018 Pinot Gris.
Dan Wright, who is the winemaker at Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. They're going to be their own sub-GI shortly. It's going to be really cool. We're at the 5th annual BC Pinot Noir Celebration at UBC Campus, Kelowna.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio.
There was a panel at this 5th annual Pinot Noir Celebration, and I was stunned and delighted to find the Pender brothers together again. Reese Pender was the host and MC, as he always is. Paul Pender was sitting beside him, no relation. I think we've worked that out. And you were pouring two Pinots. One you didn't make and you were just representing, and one you did make. Let's talk about the one that you didn't make, Hidden Bench.
Hidden Bench, a great producer out in Niagara, our next-door neighbors, basically. Really focusing on terroir-driven Pinots, cutting no corners, really trying to make quality-driven estate fruit. They presented a beautiful Pinot from the 2016 vintage, Celtic Vineyard. 16 for us in Niagara was one of the hottest years on record. Hats off to Jay Johnson, the winemaker, who did a phenomenal job. Really beautiful, elegance, perfumed. Really doesn't show that it was a stinking hot year.
Paul Pander, he is the winemaker at Taws on the Niagara Escarpment, and is representing also and speaking on behalf of his next door neighbor, Hidden Bench. So Hidden Bench is right around the corner from Taws?
Right around the corner from Taws, yeah.
How different are those two Pinots?
I would say they are more similar than they are different. I think we share a philosophy in winemaking and viticulture, both certified organic growers, fairly non-interventionist in the winemaking, but making sure the wines are pure and clean.
Different clones?
No, we would share the same clones. All of us in Niagara have access to the same fruit, and I think have all planted as many clones as are available to us, so we get that really nice complexity. And a Hidden Bench would share that same idea as planting as many clones as possible.
So how many clones are going into your Pinot?
We have about 9 clones in any given vineyard.
Okay, so my question becomes, that's a field blend.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what we're looking for. I think from my perspective, I'm looking for a wine that is an expression of a vineyard as opposed to an expression of a clone on a vineyard. And if we have all the clones together, then we understand the vineyard more.
He's Paul Pander, winemaker at Taws, and speaking on behalf of Hidden Bench. Now he's going to have to speak on behalf of Niagara and even Prince Edward County. What's the thinking now back east about Pinots in Ontario?
We love Pinot Noir. I think we see it as one of the flagship reds. I think that and Cabernet Franc would be the two that we are focusing on as a region. And Pinot Noir has been getting better and better every year. I think we are learning better places to plant it. I know in my 15 years at Taws, we have worked with many different terroirs and many different vineyards, all in the hopes of being able to essentially get some of those great vineyards for ourselves and plant them to Pinot. Pinot doesn't do well everywhere, and it's a long, long journey. I think, 20 years from now, we'll still be learning.
Last question. You tasted other Pinots that you hadn't tasted before on that panel. Any surprises for you?
The wines were all great. We really loved the wine from Joie at the end. Really beautiful, bright, elegance. Yeah. And really great examples. Everything from deep and dark, really rich, to light and fresh.
Did the Meyer stand out?
I didn't try the Meyers. It wasn't part of the panel that I was on.
Okay.
But I have had their wines in the past and love them.
Monte Creek?
Monte Creek was fantastic, yeah. Yeah. From a really great vineyard they've talked about called The Rise.
Yeah.
That was really nice. Really rich and ripe, soft tannins, really silky.
And finally, because I won't see you for the next year, do you have your own private project you're working on with your own label?
I do not, no.
Do you plan to, or are you just too busy?
I'm pretty busy right now. We just launched a whole spirits line at Taws. We're now distilling. We make a gin and a vodka and a vermouth. So we've been pretty busy with that.
Thank you very much for doing this.
My pleasure.
Nice to see you here.
Good to see you.
Thanks. Paul Pander. He is the winemaker at Taws on the Niagara Escarpment, and is representing also and speaking on behalf of his next door neighbor, Hidden Bench. We're at the BC Pinot Noir celebration outside, having fun.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the award-winning Orofino Vineyards, producing the Similkameen Valley's finest single vineyard wines, offering luxurious vineyard accommodations, voted best in the Similkameen Valley, and a wine club that makes it easy to enjoy all the best of Orofino. And the Similkameen Valley's new Row 14 restaurant at Clippers, not just raising the bar in cost and cuisine, it's defining it. It's also the home of Untangled Cidery and Clippers Guest Suites. You can find them online at row14.ca and orofinovineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Whether you're a wine enthusiast or just getting acquainted with Unsworth Vineyards, you are invited to join the Unsworth Wine Club. Membership gives you exclusive access to their collection of limited production wines and many benefits throughout the year. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. Packing his copy of Wine Folly, Madeline Puckett's wonderful epic book that will tell you everything you need to know about wine, and we're afraid to ask Paul M. Bruner,
who is the man leading the gang in the Cowichan Valley. Do you know what you're pouring?
We're not pouring here today. We're here to live and learn. So we've been in the Okanagan Valley now since Monday, and we started in the south, and we've worked our way north, and we visited, I don't know, I didn't count them, but at least 15 wineries, and it's about three things. It's about, what are you guys doing in the vineyards? What are you guys doing in the winemaking? And how do you run a wine business? And these folks have been so open and so generous with their time. We've learned just a ton. On the verge of a significant expansion, we're going from 8 acres to 35, and that's going to drive our vineyard management. That's going to drive what we require in the winery and how we run the business. So we're trying to get out ahead of it. We're probably, by the time we get all this done, it'll be another 5 to 7 years, and we would like to be kind of at the front end of it rather than kind of figuring out, oh, we got all these grapes, what do we do now?
Paul Lambruner, Bluegrass. Let's talk about the Cowichan Valley as a brand. People are coming. I think you have your fans, certainly, but there's every year there's people coming to that festival to discover what's going on in the Cowichan. What will they find?
I think they're going to find a lot of focus on, certainly in the established vineyards, on growth, on expansion. So all the bigger wineries are trying to grow. There's been some changeover in ownership in the last few years. There are a number of wineries up for sale, so we're going to see a generational change in the valley. Those are interesting, and I think you're going to see a lot of people moving, have picked up the Pinot Noir theme, and for example, ourselves, we're going to go from a whole bunch of German crosses to more traditional grapes, Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris being the principal grapes, and a bit of a focus. We're going to give some try to Chardonnay as part of our sparkling program.
What's the star of your show?
I think it's going to be Pinot Noir. I think today we make a good Pinot Noir, but we just don't make enough of it. And, you know, that's got to be the focus in the future. We buy a lot of grapes, and we'd like to buy less and make more of our own where we have complete control over it.
Paul Lambruner, Bluegrass. Okay, and just because you are a seasoned observer, how's the rest of the valley doing? Are they heading in the right direction? Are you guys all rowing in the same oar?
In general, we are. I think the big guys certainly are. They understand what works well in the valley. So Averill Creek and Unsworth are, you know, really, we're all on the same kind of path. I think the smaller wineries are finding their way, but they've got good people in them. They're working hard, and they want to define themselves and not necessarily do what we're doing. They'll do what they think is best. We'll get there, but we have that view. We want to grow. We want to be recognized for what we are right across the country and maybe beyond.
And everybody needs a handle. Would you say that it's going to be Pinot Noir for the Valley?
I think it'll be a combination of Pinot Noir and sparkling. Yeah. It may be, we're doing an awful lot of Charmat method or the Prosecco style Pinot Gris based sparkling wines now. They're very successful, and we're going to focus on traditional method sparkling wine, but I think we've got the kind of climate for it. We've got warm days and cool nights in the winter, I think we'll be, certainly we're going to focus on Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris, sparkling wine, and we're very comfortable with that as the right decision.
Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're most welcome, Terry. It's a great honor. And
get home safely.
Thank you very much. You too. We'll look forward to seeing you on the island.
Paul Lambruner from Bluegrass.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
If you're going to taste your way through the many Pinot Noirs being poured at the BC Pinot Noir Celebration, and you start with the A's, the second taste you'll get is Averill Creek. Andy Johnson is here. Did Brent Roland come with you today?
Yes, he did, and he's on his way right now with all the bits and pieces and the equipment.
What are you pouring from your Pinot collection?
Well, we'll pour the 2017 estate wine and the 2016 Sommelier series. And I have a little bit of 2006 left. It's an open bottle, so I'll probably pour that as well. Just some very special people.
How long has your Pinot life been?
It was very much an unknown factor when we started making Pinot. My own impression that the wine was very long-lived because it has great structural tannins, even though they're quite soft. They're not angular. They're very supple, but they're very much there. And we have high acidity, which gives us longevity. Now, the 2005, which was the first wine we made, is just about starting to fade. Just about.
13 years?
Yes. So the 2006, which we tasted today, I think it's probably got at least another 5 years in it.
So the longevity depends on maybe the growing year?
It depends very much on the maturation of the vineyard, and also, well, three things. How old is the vineyard? Two, what the vintage was like. And three, how we make our wine. And we make it to live a long time.
Have you changed how you make it?
We've progressed over the years to become much more natural. So we're no longer using commercial yeasts. We're no longer destemming. We don't crush. We don't leave it on its skins very long. There's optimal times to get it off its skins. So it's very much a natural wine now.
We're talking with Andy Johnson from Avril Creek. I assume you did your due diligence before you launched into this, but I just want to throw something at you. I saw a note that said, very difficult to grow, but when done right, it is sensational. What is done right?
Done right is planting it in the right place. Okay? Pinot is location, location, location. If you don't have the right weather in the fall to keep the acids high enough, while you reach full phenolic ripeness, you're never going to make a great Pinot. Sorry, you're not. The sugars are too high, the alcohol's too high, the acids are too low, forget it. It's that simple.
The clone doesn't matter?
Well, I mean, there are good clones and better clones, and some clones do better in certain areas, depending on the soil.
What'd you plant there?
I've got 114, 115, 667, and 777.
Would you explain to the audience who are just hearing those numbers and they're wondering what the hell we're talking about?
These are what they call Dijon clones. In other words, these are set, if you like, families of Pinot, which are, the origins were in the Burgundy area, right, and around Dijon. So that's what they plant there, and that's what we've now developed for planting in virtually the rest of the world. That doesn't mean to say that we're making a Burgundian Pinot. We're not. We're making a Cowichan Pinot, and there are lots of differences related to the soil type and the weather and everything else that the Cowichan Valley represents.
There you go. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Please, no fist fights today. Just pour.
I'm being nice. They don't call me the grumpy old man for nothing, you know.
Consistently grumpy. Thank you, mate. Andy Johnson, the man behind Avril Creek Vineyard in the Cowichan Valley.
I shall drink no wine before it's time. Okay, it's time. Groucho Marx.
We'll have to work our way around the band that's sound checking. We found Tyler Knight, who is the winemaker and co-owner at Lightning Rock Winery in Summerlin. We last saw each other.
Top Drop.
At Top Drop of Victoria.
That's right.
How was that for you?
Oh, it was an amazing event. Yeah, it was, Vessel does a really nice job. It's a great location, and it was a real, real sharp group of producers.
There were some nice wines in the room.
Oh boy, were there ever. Yeah, it was
but here's the cool thing, Lightning Rock was there as well and stood up. That really, because you have to put yourself into a situation like that to find out how you pour.
Yeah, it was obviously a huge honor to pour next to all those people, and everyone, it was received really well. You know, we had some really nice compliments from some, you know, pretty well respected winemakers. That was pretty cool to be out, you know, in our first year of wine production. It's always scary putting your own thing out there. It's
like an opening night.
Yeah, so it felt good.
Now, here's the reviews came in, and they obviously like you because you are one of two or maybe three wineries who are pouring at the BC Pinot Noir celebration and tomorrow at Garage East.
Yeah, so Garage East North, we're super excited to pour at that festival as well. It is focusing on really small production wineries, so, I mean, obviously there's a bunch of wineries here that are larger that wouldn't qualify for Garage East anyways. We're super excited for that as well.
I understand the entrance for the Pinot Noir celebration is you get tasted by a gaggle of psalms.
Yeah, it's a great format. Basically anybody who produces Pinot Noir in BC is allowed to enter, and it's totally blind tasted, and they picked the top 35. So again, it's pretty cool. It's a big honor to be up against some heavyweights.
Tyler Knight is the winemaker and co-owner at Lightning Rock Winery. He's here today, and he's also at Garage East tomorrow. I guess you've figured out that part of your job, besides making wines and just running things, is that you have to explain who Lightning Rock is, where they're from, how they showed up, and why should we pay attention to them?
Yeah, that's true, and that's probably been the biggest adjustment for us. So we're it's a small family winery. I mean, it's me and my wife do all the farming and all the winemaking. We're now having to do all of the sales and marketing as well, which has been a bit of an adjustment. But, you know, it's pretty natural. Really, we're just trying to stand on the quality of the product more than anything else.
Tell them where you are.
Sure. So we're in Summerland, BC, just south of Giant's Head Mountain. It's a really beautiful location up on Granite Hilltop. It's really a special place to be growing Pinot Noir.
And let's remind them, did you take over a planting or did you do your own planting?
Yeah, so we took over a planting. It was planted in 2006, mostly to Pinot Noir. We also, in 2018, picked up Canyon View Vineyard, also in Summerland. It's a pretty storied vineyard in Summerland. It's really spectacular. We feel really lucky to have been approached by the old owner, and he, you know, was ready to part ways with his dream project, and he settled on us, which was a big honor.
Did you have to do a crash course on the ins and outs and the ups and downs of Pinot growing?
I mean, we've both been around Pinot for so long. You know, it was a big part of how we picked the vineyards that we did, was they all actually have Pinot Noir.
You went looking for Pinot.
Of course, yeah.
Because did you just decide that was your grape?
Well, you know what? We've worked with fruit from all over the valley. You know, we've also worked all around the world, and it's just something that really has jumped out to us over the years working with it here, and Summerland especially. Honestly, there's some really interesting terroir there.
What clones are you working with?
So it's predominantly 667 and 115. There's a bit of 777 and Scherzinger in there as well. Yeah, just little odds and ends. But yeah, mostly Dijon clones. And then we actually have a third vineyard in Summerland, established 1968. Yeah. St. Katerina's Vineyards. It's one of the first vineyards planted in Summerland. And it's actually a champagne clone of Pinot Noir.
Tyler Knight, who is the winemaker and co-owner at Lightning Rock Winery in Summerland. What are you pouring here today at the Pinot Noir Celebration Year 5?
So today's pretty fun. We're pouring Pinot three ways. So it's all from our Alicia Vineyard in Summerland. They're all 2017 vintage. So we're pouring a sparkling wine, Blanc de Noir. It's a traditional method, 100% Pinot Noir. We're pouring our Pinot Noir Rosé and our still red Pinot Noir. So it's going to be a really fun, you know, you get to see the same fruit from the same vintage made in three separate ways.
And when I see you tomorrow, what will you be pouring at the Garage East?
So tomorrow we're going to pour a bit of a different lineup. We're going to be pouring our whites, so our Viognier. We're going to be pouring the Rosé again, the Pinot, and our Syrah as well. So that's a really small, we have a small parcel on the Alicia Vineyard. We only produced about 70 cases, but it's tasting really good.
Okay, this is an unfair question, but I can't wait to ask it. Which crowd are you more comfortable with? The BC highfalutin Pinot Noir people with cash coming out of their noses, and or the Garage East?
Honestly, there's a great crowd here tonight. You know, especially Dave, he's been really supportive of us, you know, all through our entire career here in the Okanagan. And I think he makes really great wines. He's also a really stand-up guy. I think tonight's going to be really fun, but, obviously... I love the small guy as well. I've got that in my blood. So
I love the small guys. That's where I find all my new wine.
Yeah, for sure. There's some exciting stuff happening in the Okanagan, definitely.
Well, congratulations.
All right,
this
thanks.
This is fantastic. Have yourself a great couple of days, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Yep, see you soon.
Tyler Knight, Lightning Rock Winery, at the 5th Annual BC Pinot Noir Celebration in Kelowna.
Once that day was done, we all sort of tried to get some sleep, because the next day was the Garage East North gathering at Sperling Vineyards. And the lineup for next week looks like this. And Sperling will talk to Anita and Peter from Scorched Earth, John Glavina from Giant Head, Anthony Buchanan from Anthony Buchanan, Murray and Sarah Bancroft from Birch Block, Costa Gavaris from Rigor and Whimsy, Mark Simpson from Siren's Call, Rob Westbury from Nagging Doubt, Jennifer Shell, the organizer, and Shell Wines, Terry Meyer Stone, the other organizer, and Mayhem Wines, and Redbird Estate Winery, Remy Cardinal, representing and pouring from Creston. So that's next week on Tasting Room Radio. It's Garage East North in Kelowna, brought to you by the Wines of BC. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Whether you're a wine enthusiast or just getting acquainted with Unsworth Vineyards, you are invited to join the Unsworth Wine Club. Membership gives you exclusive access to their collection of limited production wines and many benefits throughout the year. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com.